Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
error. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I'd probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. That'll wake you up, right? This is Tech Talk. You're listening to Michael Kassler on Tech Talk WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. And I think maybe I've got, it's possible that I've got our good friend, Mr. Dave Sakinaki, on there with us. Dave, you with us? Dave, you with us? Maybe not. Now I've got all sorts of stuff going on. It's the usual fun. Let's try that again. Dave, you with us? I know he can hear us. It's a question of whether we can hear him, and unfortunately right now that we can't. I'm going to figure this out, though, in the next minute or two. We'll get it worked out. Not a problem at all. It's going to be a great show today. We're actually going to have our good friend Jay Garman on doing geek trivia for the first time in weeks and weeks because, of course, we were all down in Louisville, Kentucky up until recently. The next thing that'll be happening after that is we're going to have a gentleman named Stephen Kahn, who is from ArtKick, which is a very cool app if you have not seen or heard of it before. And on ArtKick, well, here, I'm going to let him describe it and explain it to you. Let me see if we've got Dave back now. Dave, do we have you now?
Check.
Hey, there he is.
Oh, I'm here, right. Really?
I got it. We got it all figured out. Oh my gosh. It's never easy. It's never easy around here. I can tell you that much, but
Well, yeah. So, good morning everybody. Welcome to the program. Sorry I'm late.
All on us. I was just telling people. I'm so excited about this. We're gonna have a great interview today with ArtKick, and hopefully you can stick around with us as we bring them on and speak with a gentleman like I said named Stephen Kahn. And talking about that, I've got that installed and all that. But before we get into that, I know I couldn't believe this when I saw it. Dave. You're AOL. You're like the last person I know that actually uses AOL, and now you've been hit by this ongoing constant stream of issues. What's up with AOL? What happened?
They sent me an email saying that 2% of users have been had their data. There was a data breach basically for 2% of their users is what they're admitting to at this point.
Okay.
And then I had some. They recommended that we go in and change our passwords. They weren't very specific. It's probably related to the Heartbleed bug. Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of the Heartbleed bug, did you notice that all the news stories about it had a logo?
Yes,
they had a bug. That's kind of, how did that happen? who's the publicist? Who's the publicist for the Heartbleed bug? I don't get it.
Good question. You know, I noticed that logo, and it was a nice one too. Maybe somebody just, you know, whoever came up with the name Heartbleed then had the, I don't know. That's a good question. We should find out. Does anybody out there know? If anybody listening knows, you can send a message. I don't know if I'll see it, but you could try. You can send me a message at facebook.com/techtalkwrlr, or go into Twitter, and our handle there is at techtalkwrlr also. And I'll bring up Twitter right now just in case people do try to send. If anybody knows where that logo came from, that's a good question. So, but you're fine though, is what you're telling me. So AOL, 2%.
Who wants to read my email?
I do, Dave. I always open your email.
No. People, loved ones don't want to leave. You know, I mean, I can't get anybody. Yeah, you. No, you don't always open my email, by the way. And I don't always open yours. That's just the, you know, you can't get people you want to open your email to open it, much less who, you know, I mean, what are people looking for? I don't, yeah. Nothing's that.
Well, so
I
do hear, you know, and one of the things they warned about was not only that you should change your password and all that other good stuff, but of course, one of the things that happens and one of the reasons people want information and want email accounts is because of spoof attacks that can be run. And one of the more common ones that you'll see, and, you know, of course, you're now technically in a foreign country, but usually what happens is people will write emails saying that they're stuck in India, you know, or they're trapped on their trip to the UK. Please wire money to this account so I can get, you know, my hospital bill paid for, or whatever the case may be. And those have become pretty successful and pretty popular. Of course, the reality is that the individual is perfectly fine. It's just that their email account has been taken over, and then they're spoofing that way. So something to be worried about.
I remember, you know, that's a fairly, you know, robust. I'm thinking of legacy. That's a legacy scam.
Yeah, yeah.
it's been around for a while. And in the early days of it, I remember it happened. And people actually got upset. People their identity was hijacked a little bit, and then the email went out to various people using somebody's known name, right? And then people getting upset because nobody responded. it's like they were getting spoofed and nobody responded. It's one of the strangest things I ever got. And somebody actually got mad at me. Why didn't you respond to this phony email asking for help on my behalf? I was like, because I knew it was fake.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So they're like, they were upset because you didn't jump over to help them immediately, even though it turns out, of course, it wasn't really a call for help from them, but they were still mad at you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's,
I think I put the word out. Somebody had asked me, they said, oh, so-and-so's in trouble in Nigeria or whatever. And I was like, well, no, they're not.
Yeah.
You know? And so they were upset that I was like, you know, they were looking for a little drama, and I didn't have any.
Yeah. Well, that's it. which is maybe something new since you moved to Canada. I think, you know, drama seemed to sort of follow us around here, at least on the radio station. So I'm happy that you have no drama now, too.
Canada's that's true. Mm-hmm. A little calm up here, except for our famous mayor in Toronto. Other than that, that's pretty quiet.
Yeah. He's deep in the throes of a re-election process right now as well. I saw he still is kind of, he's just, you know, they talk about the Teflon politicians that we've had in the past, and I think this guy qualifies.
Oh no, he's going into rehab. There's yet another reportedly. Allegedly, there's another video of him smoking crack that is for sale.
Yeah, but he keeps saying, "Oh, I've got a big problem with drinking." But from what I've heard, he hasn't stepped up and said the problem lies in this other direction with crack and all the other business that he's been into. Finally stepped up and said, "I need to fix this too?"
No, well, he's going into rehab, supposedly.
Okay. All right.
There was a video that was the Globe and Mail paper here has seen a video that was shot last Saturday, 1 week ago, of him smoking crack cocaine, supposedly, allegedly, and he swears he's going to rehab now, which would be interesting.
Oh man! Well, good luck to him. I've dealt with some people in not in situations like that, but people that have had substance abuse issues, and sometimes depending on the program, the rehab can be what they need to make it through. Other people need to just literally hit whatever rock bottom is for them before they can start crawling their way back up. Hopefully, this has been his rock bottom, and he can come out of it a better person. You know, to get us back though onto technology, since this is the tech talk, not drug talk and Paul talk. Hey, you know, I was just talking to our good friend Rob Rigel, who's in the deck right now, waiting to come on for Rob Shot First, which is a great science program you're going to want to listen to after our show here. But I mentioned to him, it just occurred to me, I have five OSs at home now. You might know I talked before my laptop blew up on me. I installed Chromium on it, and then I actually went out and I got a Chromebook. So I've got an official Samsung Chromebook now, which is awesome. I really like it a lot. Had Chromium and then installed Chromium into an SSD, a solid state drive, onto the laptop. Kept running into a brick wall with it, though, where I couldn't do Flash on it. And that's a known problem with Chromium, which is the free and kind of, you know, sort of a half stepson of the full Chromebook.
It's a portable operating system.
Yeah. So it's
a good way to define it, right?
So it's got a lot of limitations that Chrome, the full-blown Chrome from Google, does not have. And those limitations were too much for me. I couldn't handle them. So I wound up actually going in and now installing Linux Mint, which is a version of Ubuntu, if you're familiar enough with the Linux flavors that's out there. Mint and Cinnamon are both different types of interfaces for the Ubuntu operating system, and I like it. I'm using this now, but so I've got that. I've got the Chrome. I've got my Windows still. I don't have any XP boxes, but I've got iOS on my iPad. I've got Kindle Fires which my wife uses, and then a Nexus 7 with my daughter. People need help from me technologically at home, and now I'm getting to the point where it's like, there's too many blasted different little doodads and gadgets with all these all these different systems. It's fun, but I don't know.
There was a time when I was like an OS fanatic. Every OS that was back in the NT days and Windows 95, 98.
Well, it's
various flavors of Linux, the server operating systems and stuff. I love that stuff. Now I could care less.
It's kind of addictive. So for people that haven't ever actually installed their own operating system onto a piece of hardware, today it's so much easier than it used to be back even 10 years ago. Literally, you know, for me to install Chromium and then switch from Chromium to Chrome and then to go from Chrome to the Linux Mint and Mate and Cinnamon and Ubuntu flavors and so on, all I did, there's like a single piece of software. I just go on and I kick it into a flash drive. I take the flash drive to my laptop, boom, install it. Say, do you want to install or just run it to play with it? And so you can play with these operating systems on flash drives really easily, even Chromium, very easily. There's a great website called Arnold the Bat. .co.uk. You can find that. I'll put a link to it up. He's managing all of the new builds for Chromium. You can have a lot of fun on there. I'm on there on the comment sections and stuff, asking questions and complaining about different things. You can do the same thing with Linux though too. It's so easy to do now. It's like I said, it's addicting. Every other day I'm like, oh, I should put a different one on. I want to try this one. Cinnamon looks better to me now. You know, I've got Mint on here, and now I'm hearing, oh, Cinnamon the way to go. So now I'm and every time you do it, of course, you got to go spend 15, you know, 20 minutes installing it, and then you got 45 minutes of configuring it to look just how you want. So I'm blowing a lot of time lately. I gotta get off of it. I need a rehab program. I need an OS rehab program.
yeah, sure, you can get addicted. It's an exciting, it's like a video game a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's so many different flavors now. Of course, with the support for XP not being there, I'm seriously considering jumping into Linux again. Even though Microsoft quite nicely patched the Internet Explorer bug, even for people that were running XP.
Yes.
So that was a very nice thing to do.
Yeah, that was a big news item. I was going to mention that too, is that, Internet Explorer, make sure you get the updates. The U.S. government came out and said, don't use it. Do not use IE if you still are. You should make sure that's patched and updated now, though.
Definitely do your updates. You know, I was in my bank the other day and I was looking there. It had three computer monitors behind the desk, and they were all running XP.
Well, and the and a lot of our bank ATMs run XP also. That's a bigger issue in general. You know, the desktop stuff, they can change and update those fairly easily, but the ATMs require a little more effort and work to convert that. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's a lot of kiosk machines out there that rely on XP just because they've been around so long and it was an easy operating system to have in place. Hey, you know what? I got to bring in our good friend, Mr. Garmin here. See if we can pull him in for a few minutes before we kick into Art Kick. So, let's see if I can get him here.
Can't wait to hear from Jay, and it's Kentucky Derby Day.
It is, exactly. I don't know if he's going to have much time to talk to us anyways, cuz I know he's got to be deep in the throes of getting ready for that, making up some mint juleps, and
yeah. we should have some right now, mint juleps.
I think you're right. Maybe some Linux mint juleps.
Maybe that's why it's not answering the phone.
You've reached Jay Garmin. I can't answer my phone right now. Please leave the usual message. I'll get back.
No, Jay. Oh, yeah. You know, let me give him one more shot here. He is on a cell today. So, like I said, I know that he's... he's out and about, probably enjoying this gorgeous weather that we've got. It's a beautiful day for the Derby.
He's probably fixing up his hat. Fixing up his Derby Day hat.
I was down there. Now, when we were at Conglomeration a couple of weeks, I actually went to the Kentucky Derby Museum. And for anyone that has a love of the Derby, of horses, of the... you know, the sport of kings and all that, it's really a great place to visit, at least for a little period of time. Jay, do we have you?
You do.
Oh my gosh, we got him on here. We were just debating. I explained how I had just finished installing a flavor of Ubuntu, a Linux Mint, and we were saying we need to make some Linux Mint juleps in honor of Derby Day. Are you doing anything special for Derby Day?
I'm just having, you know, 30 or 40 people over to my house, so nothing big.
By Kentucky Derby Day standards, that probably is not anything really big. you guys take it seriously.
Not really, no.
You guys are serious about it. That is not this is not something to take lightly. I did not realize that until we were down there for Conglomeration. I got the opportunity to go to the Kentucky Derby Museum and get in. We paid the extra bucks to go and get a tour of the backside, and it was it's a cool thing. It made me think, you know, I need to come down sometime for the Derby, because it just does seem like a lot of fun.
Well, actually, the trick is if you hook up with some locals, and you know a few now, mm-hmm. We go to the day before, which is called the Oaks, and all the kids are out of school, and that's when they do the running of the fillies, and there's only 80,000 to 100,000 people at the Oaks, so it's manageable, as opposed to 130,000 to 170,000 people, which I'll have at the Derby. The locals go to Oaks because it's less crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds all right. That sounds fun. They had, when we were there, there was a fair amount of work that needed to be done to get things ready to go, and they only had a few weeks left for it, of course. But I'm sure they got things together. It was neat for me to see too, because people may not realize, way back in the day, I actually worked at the Canterbury Downs racetrack out in it's in Shakopee, Minnesota. So a local hometown boy got a job doing that, and I worked with some of the jockeys' wives. I was in the ticket area, but I got to hang out with some of the jockeys and go and see what was going on, and that excitement is a neat thing to feel. And even just stepping into the where the Kentucky Derby is done, and not even the, even though nothing was going on, there's that sense, that expectation of, man, there's going to be crowds here, horses running, people screaming, throwing things in the air. It's a neat thing. It's a neat thing.
Before you guys move on from the Derby, there's a story that concerns both of you, that has interest for both of you. Did you hear about the bachelor party? They rented an RV in Minnesota to go down to the Derby for the bachelor party. Have you heard about this? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
They rented an RV, and they picked up some, they were picking up people on the way, and they picked up two people. They needed more storage, for their luggage under the RV, and they opened up the door, and there was a body under in the storage compartment of the RV. So
wow.
But with Michael, with your Minnesota roots, and they were heading to Louisville, I thought for sure you guys would have heard of this story.
No, no. So it was it the body of someone they knew, or was this this was a stowaway?
No, they thought it was a prank. They thought it was a prank. They thought it was just that they were playing a trick on the groom or something like that. And quickly they found out that wasn't true. So the cops brought them all in for questioning. You know, they immediately called the police and. And they confiscated the RV and all their luggage and stuff. So the bachelor party at the Derby didn't quite go off. So that's a few less drunks you'll have down. Alleged drunks you'll have down in Louisville.
Yeah, but boy, what a story to tell. You know that. when that guy gets up to give his toast,
an omen. Also, whatever site they rented that RV from, I'm going to leave a 1-star review on that. Would not rent again.
Too many dead bodies included in the package. We didn't ask for it. We got them anyways. Tough to get the smell out of my clothes.
Places I've rented from before, there will be an upcharge for a corpse in the storage compartment.
Exactly. Hey, at least you know that. Yeah, you know that's one of the things you always wanted to find out about a car before you bought a car. You look in the trunk, make sure there's enough room for a couple of dead bodies, and you know now that that they've got it. So, oh man. Well, I wish, you know, unfortunately I've got to move us along here. I need to get on. We're going to have Art Kick coming on in just a couple of minutes, so I want to kick into that. Jay, we haven't done a geek trivia for, I don't even know when. We were talking about maybe doing it at Conglomeration, and the time just got away from us there. What? I don't think we have one outstanding. I think we answered the one that we had before. You will know better than me. I'm so out of the loop here at this point now, I don't recall. Did we have one left outstanding we needed to answer?
We actually do, and this one goes way back, I think, to the end of March. It's been that long.
Yeah.
The question was, what was the original Steve Jobs markup over cost on the first Apple I computer?
That's right.
And so Steve Wozniak specced out originally that for $1,000 he could develop the prototype, and then for $20 a piece he could make each iterative design. So he figures, if I get 50 people to buy them for $40, we'll break even.
Mm-hmm.
So Wozniak says the Apple I should cost $40. So Steve Jobs sells the original 500 lot wholesale for $500 and retails them for $666.66 for a mere 1,667% markup.
Wow, man. Well, you know, you can't put a price on ingenuity, I guess.
I'm sorry, markups are in the news right now as well. Google Glass, I guess, they're retailing that supposedly it cost $80 to manufacture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's just it. I mean, I would be curious to know, or maybe you know, Jay, what is the current markup, or what was the markup on, for example, like the MacBook or the or the iPhone 4, for example?
Well, I think they've gotten a bit more conservative these days. I think they're only marking it up like 300% now over cost and components. So, you know, you always get that. You know, Tom's Hardware does sites, whenever the new device comes out, they'll do a teardown, and they'll actually go and find all the components and what the retail price of all the components are. It's usually, you know, you could assemble all the components for around a quarter of what you paid for the MacBook. So It's not awful. It's just that the average laptop, I think, is only 100% markup. Like, if you went and bought an Asus, you're only paying double what the cost of the components are. Whereas Apple wants, you know, three or four times.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, I mean, what price can you put on making sure that Steve Jobs and his descendants are all taken care of financially?
Well, you don't want to be judged by your barista for having an inadequate laptop when you're there pretending to work at Starbucks.
Oh, exactly. No, it's far too embarrassing. Far too embarrassing. It'd be very disappointing to be in that situation. So what should we be thinking? What should we be thinking about for next week? And hopefully, we'll get you back in here next week.
Well, tomorrow is Star Wars Day, and the big geek news going on right now is the casting of Star Wars Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd do Star Wars casting trivia.
Way back in 1976, when George Lucas was casting the original Star Wars, almost 40 years ago, the casting almost went very differently because to save money, he didn't have a huge budget, he shared casting sessions with a very well-known mid-1970s horror film. So everyone who came in to read for the horror film also read for Star Wars and vice versa. And they almost flipped roles with a number of key leads in both films. So the question is, what famous horror film shared casting sessions with the original Star Wars?
Ooh, wow. Oh, that's a great question. I know I've seen stuff about people who were considered for the roles of, for example, Han Solo, of course, and all that. But I don't know what the horror film was that they were sharing time with. That's, wow. I have no idea. I can't wait to find out. That's a bit of Trek or Star Wars lore that I just don't have in my back pocket. Man.
Well, don't worry.
It's an exciting question.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, Jay, I am going to let you run. I wish I could spend more time talking, but we're going to move along. I'm going to let you get back to prep for your Derby Day. I hope it's a great one.
All right. You guys have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, Jay.
Have a good one. Take care. That was Jay.
Can't wait to hear the answer to that one.
Jay Garman. Yeah. What a that is an awesome question. Like I said, I know I've seen a bunch of the individuals who were considered for different roles, like Han Solo, and instead of Carrie Fisher for Princess Leia and things. But I did not realize they were sharing space like that. That is interesting. Okay, well, let's see if I can bring in someone here from ArtKick. Now we're. As usual, I'm going to be playing this one by ear. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take us out for a couple of spots and drops. Dave, do not go away. I am going to keep you online, and I'm going to try to bring in, his name is Stephen Kahn, and he is one of the higher-ups there at ArtKick, and see if we can make this happen easily and cleanly, although we are talking about technology on the Tech Talk show. All bets are off, basically. All right, let me switch us over here. Dave, like I said, don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
WRLR is community radio.
I feel much more informed with what's happening today.
When we say community, we really mean it.
It's not like corporate, and it's just a good station, yeah?
We don't belong to some large corporation that makes a profit from this station.
Because I like the diversity.
And listeners won't be forced to listen to large blocks of advertising. Operations at community radio stations are made possible through grants and underwriting from companies within this area of operation. And donations, funds, and equipment, services, and time from area residents. Residents who volunteer their time to get involved.
It's as if it's my next door neighbor talking to me, only he's on the radio instead of next door to me.
Real people just like you.
I like them. They tell it like it is.
Local focus, local news, local music, of the local people and by the local people.
It's different than the rest of the stuff I hear.
I love the show. I listen every day.
WRLR.
New Hope Christian Community Church is on a mission to serve families in Lake County. Helping single moms, clothing those in need, and mentoring at-risk youth exposed to gang culture. Their ever-growing family meets at the new facility located at 1020 West Rollins Road on Sunday mornings. Services are held at 9 and 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings, and all are welcome. Their website is www.newhopechristiancommunity.com.
All right, we are back and hopefully connecting here to our good friend Stephen Kahn with ArtKick. Dave, are you still with us?
I am.
Wow.
Welcome back to the show.
Impressive. Stephen Kahn with ArtKick, do we have you on air? Are you with us? Oh, no. I hope I'm not messing this up here again. Mr. Kahn, are you with us? It's the usual fun.
That's the best dead air I've ever heard. So,
Mr. Kahn, please don't leave us, Mr. Kahn. I'm going to try you a different line. I'm going to give you a call back in just a moment here. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm hanging up right now. We're going to try bringing him in a slightly different manner here. I'm going to see if we can do this in just a little different way. So let's see how we can make this happen. Okay. Oh, it's the usual. You know, this is the Tech Talk Show for a reason, because even if we're not talking tech, we're making tech happen. Tech
not
is
work for it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're kind of cursed. We're kind of cursed by the technology guns sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah,
but
I don't know why.
But the quality of that dead air, you mentioned how the air in Churchill Downs had a certain magic to it. That dead air had a certain magical quality to it.
Did it?
It really did.
Did it? Okay. I'm happy at least to hear that. Oh, you know, this one I think is going to work now.
Are we doing better this time around?
Oh, my gosh. We did it. I should have explained to you, Stephen, before the show that we're called the Tech Talk Show because we just even though we're supposedly helping people with technology, the only reason we can do that is because we experience so many, many technical problems ourselves that
well, unfortunately, in my household, as soon as anything goes wrong, I get yelled at. So I can fully appreciate that technology is a beautiful thing. Only when it works.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I was bemoaning my fate recently in that I've got upwards of 5 or 6 different operating systems now in my household. And so when those technical problems come up, and I'm expected to be the instant expert, of course, too. there's a little bit more head scratching that goes on than perhaps there should be. But one of the things that's really, really easy to use in our house that we have no difficulty with at all is our Roku boxes, and now Roku connects with ArtKick. I've talked a little bit about this. I've even mentioned it on air before in previous shows. You are here from ArtKick. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, what ArtKick is and the vision of ArtKick, and then let's start talking about where it got started and how people can get it and start using it.
Fair enough. Well, let me start with the simple way of describing ArtKick is it's we're about art for free on your TV, but art in the sense that it includes masterpiece art, paintings from museums throughout the world, photography, contemporary photography, and all kinds of images. But we're about getting them onto screens. So we think of ourselves, we've been described as ArtKick as a Spotify for images, but basically we're trying to get images to your HDTV or to some large internet-connected screen, so it can be a PC or a laptop as well. And basically just sort of beautify your environment, if you will. And that's sort of that's the short version of it. I can go on and on and on forever here.
Well, no, that I think that does us a good start though, and so you know it's art for your TV, and certainly that's the way that I use it most frequently. Is I've configured my Roku boxes to use the ArtKick app, which I installed on my iPad actually. I have an account, and it brings up the collections that I've identified and say I want to use these as screensavers. So my Roku goes into screensaver mode instead of seeing a digital clock or a black screen or something. I now get images from all throughout history, all throughout location, all sorts of different artistic masterpieces that, you know, really I wouldn't have exposure to in any other way. And they're right there, and they're a wonderful, beautiful background. How did this idea come about? Where did you guys think like people would be interested in this manner?
Well, I'd love to take credit for it because I'm gonna have to give it to our CEO, a guy by the name of Sheldon Laub. And the way he tells the story, since I wasn't there at that instant in time, he was observing his nephew and niece who wouldn't even think of acquiring music via a CD because that's, you know, this antiquated, it's even almost as antiquated as LPs. And was thinking images would kind of pretty much should be working the same way at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now in our household, we have lots of art. We go out and we love it. It goes on the walls. It stays there. And that's somewhat the problem. It stays there. You know, we've made a commitment to it. We're too lazy to change it. And yet, most anything else that goes on in your life, music, clothes, you change them, and you change them to suit your mood. You listen to different music depending on how you feel. You know, on a given day, if you're going to work, you wear one thing. If you're going to the beach, you're wearing something else. And with images, it should be just as easy to swap them out for, you know, what you want to see at a given point in time. but it's not. Mm-hmm. And that was in part the genesis of the idea. It was like, okay, people want images. They want images to suit their mood, and it needs to be in some way that can be changed easily. And so the, you know, this commitment to physical art, you know, one, it's expensive, and then it gets hung. That doesn't work. And then you kind of go looking in pretty much any household or workplace environment, and you're going to see screens, large, black, rectangular, ugly screens when they're off. And increasingly, because HD TVs are becoming cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, these panels are getting larger and larger and larger. So now you have these 60-inch diagonal black rectangles featured prominently, you know, near the fireplace or in the family room or in your bedroom or in your work, you know, in an office space. Mm-hmm. And our thinking was, okay, they're pretty ugly when they're off. And they're, you know, maybe they're on 5 or 6 hours a day in some households, but you could do something with them the rest of the time.
Yep.
So it kind of went from there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, you bringing up things about, I think about my house, and there's just a hodgepodge of pictures and art and things like this. Over, I'm a huge fan of Magritte, and so I've got, you know, my one big painting of Magritte that I had to have, and it's framed and it's up. And it is. It's up over our fireplace, you know, as you mentioned it. But there are times when that's not what I want to see, being able to switch that out. Now, Bill Gates kind of had an idea about this. I think he was doing this in his house, like, back in the 80s? But he was doing it. he had a lot of expensive equipment to make this happen, right, when he was building his house?
Precisely. I mean, in many ways, he was a visionary in this. But in the late 80s, when he was trying, well, he did do it, but he was a billionaire, so he had a budget. I mean, I don't think he was constrained from a budget perspective very much. He actually even acquired a company, because most of the images that you'd want to display were not digitized. Mm. So, I mean, because digital cameras weren't a big deal. I mean, they didn't exist. I mean, they barely existed. So, that, you know, that was a process. You had to get things you wanted to be digitized in order to display them. The displays were $10,000, $15,000 at that point in time. You know, now they're a few hundred dollars. Hmm. And there was no way to get it from here to there. I mean, if you're trying to do it in your home, that's wonderful. But if you're trying to do it for lots of people, there was the internet pipeline, if you will, was much, much, much slower. Now they're, you know, pretty much broadband connections are much more typical than was the case back then. So he had a lot of things working against him, but what he had working for him was a vision and lots of money, and he was able to make it happen in his house, at least. Mm-hmm. And if you fast forward to 2014, it's a lot simpler to do that in pretty much everybody's household, and that's what ArtKit is about. It's doing pretty much the same thing, but for free, in, you know, hundreds of thousands of households, and hopefully someday millions of households.
Well, let's get a little down into the nitty gritty about it too. So, you know, I explained a little bit about how I use it. I've got Roku, I've got an iPad, I've got my ArtKit account, and I kind of connect the things. And now when my Roku goes into screensaver mode, it's showing me the art collections that I've selected and said, these are the ones that I like. But I know that's not the only way to go about it. Well, how else are people able to use ArtKit? And then maybe we can talk a little bit too about that process of kind of, you know, how does it choose and know which pieces of art you want to see?
All right, fair enough. Let me do the how you get it to work part, because there are several ways to do it. But fundamentally what it's about is you download an app. It's an Android or iOS app, and you download it, as you said, to your smartphone or tablet. And think of that, then think of it as a two-screen experience where the mobile app that you've downloaded is essentially a very intelligent remote control. And you pair that up then with an HD TV, a smart TV, if you will, and Samsung, LG, Sharp are smart TVs that we support directly. Mm. And then any HD TV can also be connected via either Google's Chromecast or as you're doing it with a Roku player. Mm-hmm. So there are several ways to connect it up. And basically, the smartphone / remote control is paired to the TV, and so then they're in sync. So from the smartphone or tablet, you choose what images, and you can just kind of scroll through them that you want to see on your TV. Or you can choose a view list, and that's very much analogous to what you would expect with music with a playlist. Mm-hmm. And so there are hundreds of built-in view lists. You can create your own view lists. And once you select a view list, then you can also say, all right, then you stop interacting with the smartphone or tablet, use it for whatever else you wanted to do, and then automatically in the background, the view list continues to play the way you told it to. So you pick a view list, you say, I want the images to change every hour, every 10 minutes, every minute, I mean, you decide. And then basically these images are changing. And what's kind of neat is I'll walk into a room, and there'll be something on the screen that I didn't expect to see, and I'll smile. I'll occasionally walk in and see one of my favorites is the dogs playing poker. I don't know if you recall that one, but
yes,
it's called A Friend in Need, and it was originally an advertisement for beer, I believe. And I see that, I walk in the room, and it just makes me smile. And there are lots of other images that I'll be pleased to see. And so you can surprise yourself and just have them going on a random rotation, or you can be very deliberate about what's there and leave it up for longer periods of time. We even now have the ability to import personal photos. So if you have photos on Facebook or Instagram, Flickr, Picasa, SmugMug, you name it, you can bring those into your own personal view list. You can leave them as a personal view list. You can mash them up and sort of put them next to the masterpieces if you want to. And just as easily via email, Facebook, or Twitter, you can send your view list to someone else who has ArtKick, and they'll see the exact same images that you just put together. So there's a way to share it as well. So people use it in different ways, but if you go back, you'll love this line, if you go back as recently as 20,000 years ago, people were decorating their environment. The cavemen were in cave paintings. People always have been decorating their environment. So this is just a different way to do it, but in a more rotating way where it's easy to change it.
Yeah. No, that is very cool. Now, I had known or heard about the personal photo piece, and I hadn't taken that next step with mine, but I was not aware of the ability to share that as well. And that really brings it to a whole another level then, really. I'm thinking, like, my parents, for example, have a Roku box as well. I had to go up there. I had to drive up to Minnesota and set it up for them, but it's working. It does. It does what it needs to do now. So, but I could see the next time I'm there saying, hey, let me connect you with this collection, this gallery, which is grandkid photos, which is family photos, which is a combination of things that that I know that they would like. And I mean, what a great way of being able to intermittently share those types of images in a very non-direct way, not having to force them to do something. It just is there. And that's a neat thing. Now, does that update? I guess one question I have is, does that update, if I update my collection, would that then automatically update for those people that I've shared that collection with?
They would have to import that view list a second time.
Okay.
So it wouldn't automatically update.
Okay.
But below each image now, there's what we call a social bar, but basically there's the ability to like an image, to comment on an image, and to share an image. So it's incredibly simple once you've created that view list. I mean, you actually create the view list, you send it to them via, again, email or Facebook or Twitter. If they click on that view list, so it could be a new view list or an updated view list, as you say. As long as they click on it, then that's what would be displayed. So it's relatively simple to show them, five pictures today, 10 pictures tomorrow, and they don't have to do anything other than click on it once the product's installed.
Yep. Okay. Oh, that's great then. That's great. Well, I'm going to have to add a new task. There's always a new technology task to help my parents out with. So this is the next one I've got to add.
One more thing for you to do in your free time.
Exactly. You always got to have that list. It's like the honey-do list at home, but the grandparents have got that tech-do list as well when you go visit. One thing that occurs to me automatically too is you're talking about this, of course, very much from a home use, personal use type of thing. Is ArtKick looking at getting into sort of corporate displays? My background, I used to work with a company, NEC Corporation, which actually does a lot of display solution stuff. And so as soon as I saw this, I'm thinking, boy, wouldn't that be neat in a school where they've got displays that have got information being presented that people need, but they've also got the touch screen so you can find your way around campus and things. But in the downtime, to have art like this being displayed in your campus or on your high school, what an awesome thing. Are you guys looking in that direction?
We are. We're primarily viewing ourselves as a consumer product, and a consumer electronics product, if you will, and we're looking for a very broad marketplace. Mm-hmm. So we're not specifically tailored to, you know, system integrators and going in going vertically in the direction I think that you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we work and we work there very well. But it's our focus is making this thing really easy and building a really broad community. Mm.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Well, what are you guys looking forward to then? I mean, I imagine you've got to have some future vision, just making things easier, bigger, and better. Or is there something specific that you're really looking to approach?
Well, we have over 100,000 images, you know, in our database now, and the bulk of those, though, are from museums throughout the world, from over 2,000 museums throughout the world. They tend to be images that are somewhat older and in the public domain. And while we have images from contemporary photographers, that's what we're trying to build, is images from artists that are basically alive now, creating now, and popular now. We are working with one of the largest image providers in the world, where we hope to have, and this would be premium content, images of sports, celebrities, pretty much politics, current events, any event that's going on throughout the day. Mm. And that's something that we are working on. So that's part of our future vision, so that you can stream to your large display basically what's going on in the world. And, you know, in addition to masterpieces, you can look at like a Yankees baseball game or what, you know, whatever your specific interest might be.
Yeah. Oh, that's a neat idea. And I assume then there'd be like click through links that you'd be able to connect directly to the news story or item or updates on whatever was happening. And is that, now you mentioned, you dropped a phrase though. I want to bring up. So you mentioned the idea of premium content. And, I think we talked just briefly before the show here about how I'm amazed. It's awesome. It is literally free, and there's not a lot of intrusive ads, or, you know, every third, Matisse that you look at, you've got to look at something from Clorox. It really doesn't happen. How are you guys monetizing now? And what does premium mean for you? What is that going to include? What sort of things are you going to add in that space?
Sure. Our business model, which is not an unusual one, is called a freemium business model. And basically, what that's about is you have a compelling free service, which is what you're experiencing right now, and then those people, some percentage of them will opt for premium content, and they wind up being your very best customers. Spotify, Pandora, Skype are all examples of companies that have a, if you will, quote unquote, freemium business model. Mm-hmm. So we are building a compelling free service, and overlay upon that premium content. So premium content could be more contemporary, popular artists, where we would have to pay for the licensing rights to people like a Jasper Johns or a Picasso or a Moreau. Mm. So that would be a premium service. If we had current events from, think of anything where the event requires a press pass and a world-class photographer, and if we had access to all of those images, that would be premium content. So those are the kind of things that we do to one, make money, and two, continue to support the compelling underlying free service.
Okay. Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, and I love that freemium model, because it really does let you sort of, dip in and get as much as you need. But definitely the free side of that freemium piece is very compelling right now. As I said, I use it myself, and I'm excited now to take advantage of maybe some of the more advanced features that we've been talking about on air and things here. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to start bringing us to a close here. I know I there was things I wanted to talk about. I didn't get a chance, so I actually wanted to find out more too about how you personally got involved with things. And I don't think we're going to have time. But when people are interested in finding out more about ArtKick, where can they go? What's the best place to find information about ArtKick and find out more about what it's all about and if it'll work with their devices?
The best place to go is our website, which is artkick.com. And there are sections there on how it works and how to get started. And that'll pretty much, you download the mobile app from the iOS or Google Play Store. And those two places will pretty much direct you from one end to the other in terms of looking at what devices are directly supported, because some smart TVs are already directly supported. And again, any HD TV can work with a Google Chromecast or a Roku player. So that'll pretty much get people going, and that's a great way to get started with ArtKick.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, we've got actually my co-host is here, and I've been remiss. Dave, did you have any questions for Stephen before we let him go?
Just a real quick one. Are you considering other platforms?
We are always considering other platforms. So, for instance, the new Amazon Fire TV, we're in the approval process right now for that. So, I mean, the answer is yes, and we're working with all of the smart TV. We're attempting to work with all of the smart TV manufacturers, and some of those are already supported, and others are in progress. So, the simple answer to your question is yes.
Excellent. Well, that is great. You can't have enough beauty and art in your world, in my opinion. So any way that we can start making that happen, and this is a great way to do it, I think is a phenomenal thing. You guys have been a cool side of the week for us before. Certainly, we're going to make sure that your links and connections are available for people today when they want to find you. But artkick.com is about as simple as it gets to find that. Mr. Kahn, Stephen Kahn, from ArtKick, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciated having you on and sharing the good word.
It was great fun, and if you want to get like $5 billion worth of art on your TV for free, go to artkick.com.
Outstanding, outstanding. Thank you, and have a great weekend, sir.
Sure thing. Yep. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Stephen Kahn.
I love that idea. That's a wonderful idea. Well, you know, I've always... You know, one of the first things that really got me involved with computers was art on computers. I looked up encyclopedia that Microsoft Encarta. I looked up Michelangelo and I saw the graphics for his art on a computer screen. I was like, that's a really good application of the technology.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Like I said, anything that can add a little beauty to our lives, why not? Grab it and make it happen. And again, I can't speak highly enough of it as far as how easy it is to use. There's a code you connect from your Roku or from your Chromecast once you've got your account, and boom, you're done. And then you've got Ansel Adams or, Magritte or Michelangelo, whoever you want on there. And it's just at the speed that you want it, or to just have it, staying with a couple of primary pieces that you particularly love. It's very easy to do. So we're getting close, though, to the end of the show here. I do have a couple of cool sites, though, that I can hit up as well. I kind of wanted to. We were talking a lot about Chrome today, so I had actually, in fact, two Chrome apps I wanted to mention for people. If you're using Chromium or you're using a Chromebook, there's two must-have apps you've got to put on there today. Honestly, you got to have these. The first one I'm going to mention is you can find it in the Chrome Web Store. It's called Keep Awake. And what it is, it's a little add-on. It adds a tiny little a sun and moon symbol to your Chrome or Chromium tab bar. And what it does is it takes... and allows you to configure the power save and display save settings for your Chromebook. Chromebook does not come with the ability to tell it to not turn itself off or to not shut down the display natively. You need this app in order to edit. And this isn't even, I don't believe this is even from Google. I think this is something that somebody else made, but you got to have it. So I'm going to put a link to that. That's fantastic. The other thing that you need to have too, if you are using a Chromebook or you're using Chrome extensively, is the awesome and fantastic TechSmith organization, a company, they make a screen capture utility called Snagit, and there's one specifically designed for use within the Chrome browser, for use with your Chromebooks. It's an app and also an extension, so you're going to need to get both of those on it to work, but boy, it makes things so much easier if you're trying to show people what you're doing on your Chromebook and Chrome system. How about you, Dave? Do you got any cool sites of the week to share before we sign it out for the day?
Google.com.
There you go. Google for anything you want. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dave.
All the advertising you can stand. Yeah.
There it is. Well, maybe Adblocker needs to be one of our another cool sites of the week that we'll do at some point. We can talk about that and what that means. At any rate, Dave, I've got Rob Rigel from Rob Shot First on deck waiting to get on. He's anxious, so I'm going to bring him on in just a moment here. Don't go away. You're listening to WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Dave, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
You do the same. Take care. See you next time.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye. That was Dave Sparky Saganaki. I am going to exit out, as I promised, and we're going to play for you a quick song. We'll see if we get through it all before Rob comes on. It's from a band called Yacht, and the song is called Psychic City. It's a good one. I like it. I think you're going to like it, too. And, boy, let's kick off into that. Have a great week, everyone. Don't go away. Stay tuned. You're going to be listening to Yacht with Psychic City.
Our eyes might meet.